Hey, good morning, everyone. So good to have you with us and good to see so many people in person. Want to welcome those who are online with us. I'm looking across the auditorium and people just look like you're in the blahs. I don't mean that offensively. If you take it offensively, please don't. But I mean, it's cold out. We're tired of being locked down. It's felt like a long winter. It's felt like a long two seasons. And I just felt like maybe you just needed a little bit of like a pick-me-up. And so I just thought it would be good just to announce, maybe you missed it. On Friday was Squirrel Appreciation Day. How many of you celebrate Squirrel Appreciation Day? This is legit. I almost missed it. Squirrel Appreciation Day, squirrels need affirmation too. And so if you missed it and you know a squirrel in your neighborhood, make sure that you celebrate that squirrel. We were going through Starbucks drive-thru on Friday, Ainsley, Breyer, and I. And for some reason, Ainsley was getting upset with me every time I said to the lady who was serving us, Happy Squirrel Appreciation Day. I don't know why she didn't like that, but I just think that squirrels should be affirmed. And so if you're looking for something to pick you up, find a way to appreciate a squirrel today, okay? All right, you ready for the message? We can be silly sometimes. Ainsley and I started dating 2 weeks before I went to Bible college. And in those 2 weeks, we definitely knew that we liked each other. Things were going really well in those first 2 weeks. But we had a decision to make the night before I went off to Bible college. We didn't actually even talk about the decision, but it was something that each of us would have to decide on. Would we continue to pursue this relationship, or would we just let the last 2 weeks fizzle off into just a good 2 weeks? Would we pursue the relationship long distance? You see, Ainsley was going to stay in Oshawa to take a nursing program, and I was going to be going to Peterborough for Bible college. And we had this decision about whether or not we would pursue the relationship. That what that meant would be, what it meant was that we would have to put some effort into this relationship. It meant that we would have to write each other letters during the week or cards, that we would have to phone each other. And friends, back in those days, you didn't have cell phones. You had a phone on the floor, or you had to pay for a phone into your room, the setup fees and all that. We'd have to phone each other, and phone bills were astronomical back then. We'd have to figure out me coming home on weekends, which was really difficult since I didn't have a car. Would I be willing to find a ride every single weekend? And would we, when I came home, would I be willing to give time towards her, and would she have time to give towards me? We had to make a decision whether or not we would pursue this relationship. And as much as we liked each other, we knew that the pursuit of this relationship was going to require effort. Every single time I wasn't sure if I'd be able to come home for the weekend, and I had to beg somebody. I even had to pay some friends from back in Oshawa to drive up to the college and pick me up and take me back. It would require effort. But we realized that if we wanted this relationship, if we were going to pursue the relationship, it was going to require effort. Friends, when it comes to our holiness, some of us think that holiness just happens, that it's just placing ourselves before God and letting Him just do His thing, that it will just, we'll just kind of fall into holiness. If we just come to church, we'll be holy people. We don't put much effort into it. We don't pursue holiness because it requires an effort. While God has declared us to be holy, He is asking that we would pursue a holy lifestyle that reflects His holiness, and that's going to require effort. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. You see, the author of Hebrews says that the precursor to us actually having a relationship with God is holiness. This is not just something we stumble into, but it's holiness that's the precursor for us to see God. I love this quote by Kevin DeYoung. He says, union with Christ is the irrevocable work of the Spirit. Communion with Christ, on the other hand, can be affected by sin and unresponsiveness to God's grace. You see, in order to maintain our communion, we have to pursue holiness. The writer of Hebrews says that we are to make every effort. Every effort. And that word is actually the Greek word pursue, to go after something aggressively. Friends, God's not saying, hey, holiness is a good option for your life. It should just be this part that you take along with you in your pursuit of Jesus. No, the author of Hebrews says, when you go after holiness, you're to pursue it aggressively. Give it everything you've got. Put your all in. Go after holiness completely. If we are to live holy lives, we must pursue holiness aggressively. But the question is, how? How do we pursue it? Because, friends, a lot of our pursuit is simply heart pursuit. We want to be holy. We desire to be holy. But what are the pragmatic elements of pursuing a holy life? Well, the very first, I think, is that we need to attend Scripture. Attend Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And this word living that we see in the passage means to attend, to pay attention to guard. Let me just give you a statement that may cause some of you to be upset with me. Perhaps one of the greatest discipleship errors that we have made is to tell people that if they read their Bible every day, everything will be fine. But let me say it again. One of the greatest discipleship errors we've made is to tell people they just need to read their Bible every day and things will be fine. You see, reading your Bible every day doesn't make you any more holy than me reading a cookbook every day makes me a chef. Let me just illustrate. Every year I choose to go through the Bible within a year. Many of you do the programs also. YouVersion is probably the best. Right now I'm doing it through Dwell and listening to the Scriptures on a daily basis on a plan. And what I love about doing the Bible in a year is that it makes sure that you cover the entirety of Scripture without just getting stuck in your favorite passages of the Bible. And so you have to wade through some of the weighty stuff of like Leviticus and Numbers. And yet you have to go through some of the heavy stuff of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and then you get to some of my favorite places like Proverbs and the Gospels, and so it's very enjoyable to be able to go through both the difficult and the easy. But if I can be really honest, though, those times where I've done the YouVersion Bible in a year, there has been days that I've missed my assigned portion. Anybody with me, you'll just be really honest. You're like, I've just missed it the odd day. I know some of you are holier than me. But sometimes I miss a day, you know, especially on the years that Ainsley and I are taking a missions trip. You get on the plane, you're at the airport like at 3:30 in the morning. You can barely even keep your eyes open. You go to Starbucks not to drink the coffee but to pour it in your eyes because you're so tired. And it's just hard to read, and so you think, okay, I'll just catch up on this day when I get to Thailand or Vietnam. And then you're there and you're dealing with jet lag and you find yourself a couple days behind. And I think, okay, I'll just catch up. And at some point, when I get back into my rhythm, I start to try to catch up on the days that I've missed on this one-year plan. But here's the problem is that in order to catch up, I have to double the time or triple the time that I'm spending. And it just feels overwhelming. And so what I'll do is I'll rush through my Bible reading. To catch up, I'll rush through the passage, and I will check off the little digital circle on my app to say that I've accomplished the day's reading from day 121. And I can move on to day 122. And friends, if I'm absolutely honest, I've done the task, but I have no idea what I just read. I mean, certain things may stick in my head, but the truth is that I've done the task, but it has just skimmed over my head. Anybody be honest and say, yeah, that's me? Okay, there's some honest people. But what we do is we make ourselves feel good because we've accomplished the task. We read our Bible every day. And didn't we learn that song in Sunday school, read your Bible every day and you'll grow, grow, grow? But reading our Bible isn't what's required for holiness. You see, we need to daily attend to the Scriptures, planting God's Word in our lives, ensuring that it nurtures into life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And this word training is to disciple or nurture. Once again, we get this idea of nurturing our lives with the Word of God. It's more than just reading it. It means that we are to attend to it so that it's like a plant. You're guarding it and you're attending to it so it nurtures into something within your life. But how do we attend to Scripture? Super practical this morning. First of all, and the first attending practice is you've got to read it on a regular basis. I know I just said it, that's not enough, but this is the beginning. You have to be into the Word of God on a regular basis. It can't be hit and miss. Your Netflix viewing shouldn't be more than your Bible reading. It should be something regular, the same time each day. It should be something that you're doing. And friends, whether you are a reader or you are a listener, just for some of you who are not readers, it's okay. It's okay for you to listen to the Word of God. If you think back to the early church, they didn't all have Bibles, and so they would listen to the Scriptures from somebody who knew the Scriptures. And so you might want to consider getting the Dwell app because it reads the Scriptures to you, or even the YouVersion will allow you to hear the Scriptures. But get into the Scriptures, read it or listen to it. Number two, understand the Scriptures. You don't just read it, you've got to ask questions. Study it. Find out what the Scripture's actually meaning. If you read a passage and you don't have a clue, you haven't gone far enough. You're not nurturing the Word in your lives. And you're not producing the path towards holiness. You've got to dig into it and ask questions. What does this mean? What's the context? Study the Scriptures. Get deep into it. Get your hands dirty. Thirdly, you need to pray about what you're reading. You need to ask God what He wants the passage to do. You see, if all it is just a task, I read my Bible, then we will just skim across the surface of Scriptures and it's never, ever going to touch our heart or our lives. But we need to finish the reading and saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with this passage? How should I live it out? How does it speak to my life? Are there things that need adjustment in my life? Pray about it. Fourthly, is we need to recall. Throughout the day, we need to review and meditate on the Word of God. All kinds of Scriptures I could give you here. But the Bible constantly talks about hiding the Scripture in our hearts. And friends, I want to tell you that one of the difficulties we have in a distracted world where it is so easy, and I'm so guilty of this, to look at Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or some media, to be distracted by that, that we can't calm our mind down to review and reflect upon what we've just read. But if we're going to pursue holiness, our minds have got to constantly be going back. What did I read this morning? What was God trying to say? What did He say about this in my life? We go through it. We lay in bed. We review it. We just keep going over it and over it and over and meditating on the Word. And lastly, friends, you have to apply it. If you read the Scriptures but you don't apply it, you've done nothing. You might as well not read the Bible. But you have to apply it. At the end of every time you've read the Scriptures, you've got to ask yourself the question, what must I do today so that the Scriptures will be nurtured in my life, so that I will be walking towards holiness, so that I will live the way Jesus wants me to live? How will I respond to my family? How will I deal with this issue at work? How will I think about my viewing habits? How will I deal with this person, or how will I respond in this gossip moment? How will I? We apply the Word and put it into practice. We read it, we understand it, we pray about it, we recall it, and then we apply it to our lives. Attending Scripture is not about going to the Word, but it's about bringing the Word with us everywhere we go. Friends, this is so important. The Word of God will help you in every situation. You see, some of you mess up on God, and you'll say to God, God, I won't do that again. And the truth is, you will do it again. Unless you say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done, but what I choose to do is bring the Word with me so that I know how to deal with the temptation that comes the next time it comes. I'm taking the Word with me. I'm going to make sure it's deep inside of me. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to attend it. I'm going to nurture it so that the next time I face the temptation, I have Your Word with me. And we face moment by moment with the Word of God. Secondly, we need to change our patterns. Romans 8 verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Think about fleshly desires. You'll do what your flesh wants to do. You think about what the Spirit desires, you'll do what the Spirit wants you to do. The simple truth is that our patterns will only be changed if we can change our thinking patterns. You see, everything we do will start at our thinking. And what we read in this passage is about the mind, the mindset on the flesh, the mindset on the spirit. And this word mind means to regulate one's outside behavior from within. Every pattern you have in your life begins right here, friends. And if your mind is constantly if it's constantly in a pattern that's gratifying and thinking about things that are not pleasing to the Spirit or things that are pleasing towards yourself, then you will do things that are contrary to holiness. But if your mind is fixed on what the Spirit wants you to do, then you will do what the Spirit wants you to do. The change of patterns begin internally. Let me just give you an example. Over the last 2 years of COVID, everybody's been trying to figure out new patterns. And one of the things that we've been trying to figure out in our home is how do we continue to maintain physical exercise beyond like the stuff you do outside. Because before COVID, I would simply slip over to Bob Corey and work out. But during COVID, everything shut down, and so we start to build a little gym in our basement, and it was great during lockdowns because every lunch hour, I would go downstairs for about half an hour, and I do weights, and got pretty consistent for about half hour each day. But then things started to open up, and we were back to the office, and I found myself having less workout moments than before. And I remember Ainsley and I sitting last fall going, hey, how do we change our exercise routine? How do we put this into our life? Well, we've got the equipment. How do we make this happen in our life? And so I said to her, we've got two different places we can do this. We can do it first thing in the morning, and we have to get up extra early, or we can do it when I get home from work after supper. Well, the latter just didn't seem to make sense because you have a full dinner and you don't want to get on a stationary bicycle. You know what will happen. So we began to talk, and we said, why don't we get up at 6 in the morning, an hour earlier than we normally would? Now friends, I don't like getting up earlier than I have to. And so we had made this commitment we would do it, and so we knew the first couple days would be really difficult, and they were terrible. I mean, you just get up, and Ainsley would be the first one downstairs, and I'd come downstairs, and I'd just like... And you're just like laying down on the bench to do weights, and you're just trying to keep from not falling asleep. We've been doing it since late fall, and it's getting easier, but still some hard days. And every now and then, I'll have a bad night's sleep, and this is what happens. Ainsley's alarm goes off at 5:55, and because she gets up first and goes down, and then my alarm goes off at 6, and I'm getting ready, and I'm on the tail of her going downstairs. And as she leaves the room, I'm laying in bed, I've had a bad night's sleep, and I think to myself, this is where I belong. This is what the Holy Spirit wants for my life, to stay in bed. I am super tired, I need to take care of my body, I need to make sure that everything is fine. Right now, sleep is my best option. And I believe that the immediate gratification of another hour of sleep is my greatest reward. It's the greatest thing for my life. And I'm thinking through this in my mind. And then I have the second thought. If I stay in bed today, then I will give myself permission to do it another day. And then another day. And then another day. And then I will fall apart. And I will be completely out of shape. I need to think about the future. I need to think about the goals that I want. I need to think about being in better shape. And so I think towards the future. And I have this mind conversation with myself. And my mind determines how I'll behave. And I eventually start to think my long-term goals are better than my immediate goals. And so I'm going to get up even though I'm super tired. And I'm going to continue to work out. And I haven't missed a day yet of the days that we have scheduled, because I've won the thought battle that has affected my actions. You see, every change of pattern always begins within our minds. Friends, I'm going to tell you the strangest thing. You need to have some inner voice conversations. You need to have some conversations with your inner person. I'm not talking about you know, dual personality stuff like that, or you know, some of you are like, well, I already have other voices. No, that's a whole different issue. You should come to the altar right now. I'm saying you need to have some conversations in your mind about what you want to change. And here's probably the key conversation you need to have. When do I sin? What circumstances cause me to give in to temptation? You see, if you can have that conversation, you can begin to think about the things where you're failing in your holiness. Have you ever sat back and said, hey, when do I gossip? Hey, when do I show pride? Hey, when do I struggle with my thought life? Hey, when do I feel greedy? Hey, when do I hold a grudge? Hey, when do I release anger a little bit more than I should? And if we can think about that and we can begin to have the inner conversation, then we can begin to change our thinking towards change behavior. Let me tell you a story by Charles Swindoll. He talks about a father who was talking to his son one day, and he said to his son, I don't want you swimming down in the canal anymore. It's dangerous down there. There's some undertows. I don't want you swimming down there. Do you agree, son? And the son said, yeah, Dad, I won't do that anymore. Later on that day, the son comes home from school, and he's carrying a wet bathing suit. His father confronts him right away. He says, son, where have you been? He says, I've been swimming. He says, didn't I tell you not to swim? Yep. He said, why did you? He said, well, I had my bathing suit with me, and so I figured that I might as well swim. Couldn't resist. He said, well, why did you bring your bathing suit with you? He said, well, I brought my bathing suit with me in case I walked by the water and I was tempted to swim. You see, in order for him to stop swimming, he had to stop taking his bathing suit. We think through when we sin, it's when we've enabled ourselves to do certain things. And so, in Romans 13, verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Make no provision. And this word provision means to enable something to happen. When we're going through our thought patterns, we need to think about the things those enabling patterns, those things that we do in life that enable us to give into temptation. So we stop and we think, hey, when is it that I sin? When am I tempted? And let me just go with a really simple one. Maybe you're thinking about gossip. Hey, when do I gossip? I think, oh, every time I'm with so-and-so. Okay, so I've got some choices. When I can either stop being with so-and-so because so-and-so is enabling me to sin. Or I can immediately think, I am going to be with so-and-so, but I am going to speak life to about every person that so-and-so raises. When they're talking about Pastor Nick negatively, I'm going to speak positively about him. When they're talking about so-and-so, I'm going to speak positive about, I'm going to make sure that I don't enable myself to step in to gossip. You see, friends, we must think about our enabling patterns. We must think about those places we put ourselves, that we allow ourselves to give in to temptation. To pursue holiness, we must change our thinking patterns, and we must change our enabling patterns. And when we change our thinking patterns and our enabling patterns, then we change the patterns of our behavior. Lastly, we must maintain partnership. 1 Peter 1 verse 2 says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now let me just go back. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Peter's saying that he's speaking to Christians, those who, according to God's foreknowledge, has said, hey, these people have accepted the gospel, so they're chosen. They're individuals who have accepted the gospel, so they're chosen as my believers. So he's speaking to Christians. And then Peter says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And this word sanctifying means the process of advancing in holiness. Progressive transformation by God to be more like God. Well, what Peter's saying is it's the Holy Spirit who progressively makes us holy. It's the Spirit of God within our lives that makes us holy. The Spirit advances our holiness. And yet we are told to advance our own holiness. Right? We read in Peter that says, hey, the Spirit advances our holiness. But then Hebrews says, make every effort to be holiness. Spirit makes us holy. We make ourselves holy. Is there a contradiction here? No, what we see in Scripture is this great partnership. That we are to work with the Spirit to be holy. Friends, if you want to be holy, you must have a deep relationship with the Spirit of God. There must be a partnership in your life with the Holy Spirit that you are acting in a holy way, and the Spirit is making you holy. I want you to think about Jesus' life. He goes into the wilderness, and we see his first temptation. The enemy comes along, and he says, hey, why don't you turn this piece of stone into a piece of bread? And he's attacking Jesus' desire. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Then temptation number two occurs. And Satan comes along and says, why don't you worship me and you can have all these kingdoms. And now he's attacking Jesus' purpose. He's going after Jesus' purpose, trying to make him drop it. And Jesus says, you only worship God. And finally, Satan says to him, hey, why don't you come up here in the temple, throw yourself down and call for the angels. And finally, Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord your God. And now Satan has been tempting his ability to operate in the supernatural. Three temptations. Some of us look at this passage and we go, oh, it's just Jesus. You know, he's the Son of God. He was never ever gonna do these things. But in order for it to be a temptation, there had to be the possibility that Jesus would actually do what Satan wanted him to do. Each temptation was a real temptation. And each time he overcomes the temptation and he lives holy. And we ask ourselves the question, well, how did Jesus do it? And it's very simple. In verse 1, it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He goes into his temptation full of the Spirit. He is led by the Holy Spirit into the temptation. And as he's there in the midst of temptation, it's the fullness of the Spirit in his life that's allowing him to stand against the enemy's tactics. And then in verse 14, at the end of the story, it reads that in Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. There is this partnership that Jesus had with the Spirit in the times of temptation, that he didn't do it in his own strength. He relied on the Holy Spirit. And friends, you are not called to do things in your own strength to be holy. You are to do it in a partnership with the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, you're not going to give in to unholiness. We regulate our lives by the Holy Spirit. In our marriage, I'm the shopper. I know that many people make jokes about women being the shopper, but Ainsley's not the shopper, it's me. And I love buying clothes, I love getting good deals, and the joke around my house is that if I can get a shirt for $10, it's guaranteed purchase. If I'm shopping by myself and I find a deal, if it's a good deal, I'll buy it right away, even if I don't need it. It's just a piece of cake. I'll just give in to, oh, this is shirt's $20. I'm going to buy it right now, and I'll take it home and pull up the bag. And he's like, what's this? Oh, it was a great shirt. And usually Briar's like, was it $10, Dad? Briar, shut up. Just be quiet. Because they know my habits, and I'll give in if I'm by myself. But if Ainsley and I are shopping together, I will pull a shirt and I'll go, hey, look at this. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's nice. It's like $10. Great. Well, what do you think? And she'll ask me this question. Do you need the shirt? I hate that question. Do you need it? Needs a very interesting word, Ainsley. And I'm like, well, you know, like I could always use another shirt. And she jokes because I have all these categories. This is my Sunday shirts. These are my midweek shirts. This is my workout shirts. These are my just hanging around the house shirts. Like just ridiculous categories. And I'll say, probably not. And then she'll say to me, look, if you want to get it, get it. And that might seem like the green light, but I know it's still a red light. I know it still is, and she'll say those words to me, and she's like, if you really want to get it, and usually I won't get it because I just know that she's really telling me she's not impressed, she's not pleased with this, but occasionally I'll buy the shirt even though I know she doesn't want me to, and I'll have it in the bag, and I'll reach out to her hand and hold her hand, and she's just looking forward, and I'll try to talk, and it's not like she's giving me the cold shoulder, but I can just tell the level of connection's not there. And she's expressing in her silence her displeasure over my shirt purchase. She doesn't even have to say anything. I just know that she's displeased that I've bought another shirt. That's how it works with the Holy Spirit. If you walk in relationship with the Spirit and you're about to do something, the Spirit will say, hey, do you really need to do that? And you will feel his displeasure without him even saying the words. Do you really need to do that? You'll feel it inside. And he may not even say, don't do this. But as you go to do it, even if you do it, you'll still hear his voice. You'll still talk to him. But you will sense that there's something severed in the relationship. You see, the more close you are to the Spirit of God, the more you will understand those moments of displeasure when you're sitting and watching something, when you're in a conversation with somebody, when you're all by yourself and you're thinking about something, when you're pursuing a path that he doesn't want. You'll know it because you'll feel the displeasure. And that displeasure will help you to walk in a way where you won't gratify your own desires. God is calling us to walk in a partnership with the Holy Spirit so that we will be holy. Let me conclude this. In the forests of northern Europe and Asia, there's a weasel-like animal called the ermine. The ermine is a very white, like pure white creature. Its coat is just pure white. And over the years of history, the coat of fur has been used by the ermine to do the collar on the gowns of kings. You know the white collar and the royal red or purple. That white part has been made by the ermine pelt. Well, when hunters are trying to catch an ermine, they don't set traps. But what they do is they go and find where the ermine lives, whether it's in the cleft of a rock or in some hole in a tree, and they will bring along with them a bucket of slime. I don't know the ingredients in slime, but they'll take a bucket of slime and they'll put it all around the entranceway of the hole in the tree or in the cleft of the rock. And then when they see an ermine, they will release dogs that will chase the ermine to its home. And as the ermine gets close to the entrance of its home, it will see the grime and realize that if it goes through the entrance, it will dirty its coat. And the ermine does everything it can to keep its coat clean. And as it gets to the entrance and it sees the grime, the ermine will stop. The ermine will choose to be caught by the dogs rather than dirty its coat. And as Christians, we must have the same willingness to do everything in our ability, even if it costs us significantly, to keep our lives holy. We must see grime, the sins of this world, the temptations of life, and as we are about to enter, we must go, I don't want to pursue anything that's going to make me unholy, even if it costs me friendships, even if it costs me pleasures, even if it costs me in this area or that. I choose not to enter into the grimy places because God has called me to be holy. We've been talking about holiness this whole month. Perhaps some of you have been living in a way that is far from what God expects. You've been just doing everything your own desires tell you to do. And you haven't sensed God's presence forever. But I want to pray that you will walk out of this place in a pursuit, aggressive pursuit of holiness. That you would go after a life that represents God in all that he has for you. Set apart. Let's pray. Jesus, today I'm thankful for the instructions of Scriptures. I pray that we will more than just read our Bible daily, that we will attend it by reading it, by understanding it, by praying into it, by remembering it, God, and then applying it to our lives. Let us attend to your word, guarding it so that it nurtures something in our life, carrying it with us. God, I pray we'll change our patterns. Let us change our behavioral patterns by changing our thinking, thinking about what the Spirit wants, thinking about what Scriptures say. And God, let us change our enabling patterns so that, God, we will give no provision to temptation, God. And I pray that we would maintain a partnership with you, Holy Spirit, that we would walk shoulder to shoulder with you so that we might be led in the things that you want us to be led in. We love you so much, and we want to live a life of holiness so that we may maintain the communion that you sacrificed your life for. So today we give ourselves to you. Now, God, be with each person, whether online or in person, as we go about the things that we have. May we sense your presence, and may we live our life fully for you. In Jesus' name, amen.